Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
It never ceases to amaze me when I hear that the average wedding these days is over $25,000. But when people call and ask me about my services, they talk about how expensive it is. And, you know, a wedding is one day. And I realize it's an important day and everybody wants that day to be special. But your marriage is for life. And so there's part of me that says, would you put aside 10% of your wedding to plan for your marriage? And I don't know what's more important than really investing in this most important relationship. And if you've been to a wedding as a guest recently, you've probably been asked sometime during the ceremony if you will stand with and support the newly married couple. But maybe you also learned something as you listened to the vows that you can use to improve your own marriage. And so to talk about what you can take away from a wedding, how you can invest in your marriage, I'm joined by Marcus and Ashley Cousy, authors of First Year of Marriage, The Newlywed's Guide to Building a Strong Foundation and Adjusting to Married Life. And they're also the hosts of the First Year Marriage Show podcast, which I'm going, yes, the newlyweds need this. So I'm so glad you guys have joined me tonight. And, you know, I came across that piece on the Huffington Post, 10 Lessons I Learned About Marriage from Weddings. And I thought, this is great because, you know, weddings are for the bride and the groom, but they're also for all the people who are gathered to support them. So you guys say your first lesson is to plan, prepare, and work hard for your marriage. And, you know, I was talking about that before, that people take up to a year to plan their weddings, but they don't tend to think much about the marriage. Why do you think most people don't do this?
Yeah. First, Leslie, thank you for having us on your radio show. We are really happy to be here to share our experience and some of the things we've learned with your listeners. Based on the articles, the article really stemmed from my curiosity to see what I could learn from weddings that I could apply to my marriage. And the first point that I obviously came up to me was the planning, preparing, and working hard for your marriage, or working hard to make sure your wedding is a success. And based on that, I realized that a lot of couples devote so much time to the wedding day. They devote resources, everything, just to make sure the event is successful. And if you, as I said, if you spend at least 10% of the energy you put into your wedding or planning for your wedding day for your marriage will definitely be a success. And the reason why I think most people don't do this is because due to the focus that they put towards the wedding day or the wedding ceremony, it detracts from the time that they can invest in actually preparing for their marriage. And I'm not saying this to say that everybody does this, but overall, from my experience, most people will prepare for their marriage in one way or another, through a podcast, through books, through marriage counseling, through friends and family. As for instance, we actually did ours through a book. Uh-huh. And then we talked with family friends who had great marriages that we admired, and they gave us insights, and that really helped us to start our marriage on the right foot.
I really love that idea. And, you know, I know that there are some, in fact, he's a mentor of mine. He actually has worked on trying to establish something called marriage mentors, where it's, you know, couples that will really stand in to newlyweds, for newlyweds, to answer those kinds of questions. So were you nervous at all about approaching these people to ask for their advice? Because we really don't talk about marriage per se amongst, you know, it's not like, you know, asking a friend, how did you potty train your child, or how did you get your child to sleep through the night? We have no problem asking those questions, one, because we're absolutely desperate, but we don't ask those same kind of questions about marriage. So how did you guys do that?
Well, these, I've had a lot of examples of not so great marriages in my life growing up. And so it was easy for me to see the ones that worked or just certain parts of them that worked. And this was it's a family friend. They're couples that my family has known for years. They're very, warm and bubbly, and they're just, you can just tell how much in love they still are. I don't even know how many years they've been married, but it's probably closer between 30 and 40 years. Uh-huh. So we went, and we asked them, and I said, you know, would you mind talking to us and just, you know, having dinner with us and just telling us what you think we need to know for marriage and what we could help us to be successful. And so they had no problem doing that. And we're not very shy people. So if we need help, we're going to ask for it.
Do you think it's a question of being shy, or do you think that, you know, I don't know whether people are afraid that maybe the couple that they're asking isn't as happy or isn't as successful as they're appearing to be, or is it, you know, maybe I don't really want to know.
I think it's a privacy thing. I think for a lot of people, they feel like, yes, I know their marriage isn't as perfect as it seems. But I think if you really know a couple and you're looking up to them, then there's certain things about their relationship that you want to emulate in your relationship. And even if you go and talk to them about that specific thing, or you don't even have to talk to them, but just observe them and learn from watching them, you know, interact with each other. I think that is, you know, one way that you could do that.
Well, and that goes back to the article that Marcus wrote about learning about marriage from being at a wedding, because obviously, you know, he's watching, he's noticing. you know, I always wonder, I'm kind of an age where I'm kind of between going to weddings. I tell people I now have adults. I don't have children anymore. And, you know, they're kind of entering into they're not quite to marriage age yet, but at some point in time, I will be starting to go to weddings again. And I always want to go, do you know what you're promising? Do you know what those words mean? you know, and, you know, Ashley, you're talking about watching other couples. And I remember I had this experience when I was growing up. I went to a friend's house and I was spending the night, and I walk in through the kitchen and the dining room is all laid out in china and linen and candles. And I looked at my friend, I'm going, I can't be here. And she looked at me, she goes, oh, my parents do this every Friday night. And that stuck with me. So when I was trying to, when my kids were little and I, you know, I knew the importance of staying connected to my husband, it was like we had dinner, you know, candles and nice dinner, and the kids were off in another part of the house with the instructions of do not bother us unless the house is on fire or somebody's bleeding, you know. And we did that. But that was one of those things that stuck with me as a sign of, hey, this works.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Maybe we'll have to adopt that one because we have little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to kind of be old enough to, you know, thank goodness for, in my case, it was back when we had VCRs and videotapes, but it's like, thank goodness now for CDs. It's like, okay, when the movie is over, you can come talk to us. So we had like an hour and a half. You know, thank goodness for Disney.
Yeah.
So one of the other points that you guys have talked about and that Marcus mentioned in the article was the need to find good resources and be willing to get help. And so what have you guys discovered are some of the things, some of the signs that couples might actually need some help or could benefit from talking to somebody?
I think we can all afford to learn and grow, and I wouldn't wait until you necessarily need help and have a big problem to start trying to learn and better your relationship. It's great to read books and resources and even see like a counselor or a marriage coach or therapist just for an outside opinion to help you like check up on your marriage and areas that you can work on and tools to better your relationship. I like that quote, if you're not moving forward, you're stuck. So in my opinion, I think that you shouldn't wait until there is a big problem to always try to better your marriage. Even if you feel like you have a great marriage, like we really love the relationship we have, but we know that we can always grow and get better.
Yeah. And just to add to what Ashley just said and be more specific, if there is any couple that's listening to us, like from our experience and based on our marriage and talking to other couples, when you don't have effective communication going on and there's a lot of miscommunication or there is constant argument or one spouse feels resentment towards the other or there is a lack of sex, and with the lack of sex, it depends on the couple. Some couples, they are okay having sex once a week. Some couples, it has to be 3 times in a month, depending on the frequency that you have in your marriage. If you realize there's a lack of sex, that those are signs that could tell you, okay, these are things that are telling us we need help and we should either go talk to a counselor or we should seek help from someone who is more experienced than us. And the other thing that a lot of couples don't add is that when they don't feel connected to their spouse, it's a really big thing, but most couples don't see that easily. Like, for instance, if Ashley feels disconnected towards me, she'll tell me that, babe, I feel disconnected. If I feel disconnected, I'll let her know that. But what we've realized is with a lot of couples, they feel that disconnection, but they don't voice their concerns to their spouse. And the last thing that is obvious is when there's a lot of trust issues, because we all know that without trust, any relationship cannot really excel or succeed.
Right. And those are some really good points. And I kind of like what you were saying. You know, as you were talking, I just had the vision of that old story about, you know, if you put a frog into a pot of boiling water, it would jump out because it's so hot. But if you put it in a pot of cool water and gradually turn up the temperature, it doesn't really recognize that it's in trouble until it's good. And I'm wondering, you know, I think sometimes you're talking about feeling, if you're feeling disconnected from each other, that you guys are proactive and will say something to each other. But there is that kind of thing that you sort of have to recognize it. That you are disconnected. And I think that today, with all the distractions and challenges that many people have, they just assume, and we all know what happens when you assume, but they just assume that this is the way it's supposed to be and that we're not supposed to get the butterflies anymore, that now we've just turned it into a business instead of a relationship. Do you find that with the people that you work with?
Definitely. I even had a family member who would ask me every year that we were married, are you still happy? Are you still that in love? But marriage takes work. So many people think they say that, but they don't really understand it. And I think that when you go into marriage, you have all these butterflies, you know, in the beginning of your relationship, and those do start to fade. So you have to be intentional and proactive, and you have to work on that and say, okay, where am I not happy in our relationship? We like to have these checkups, we call them. So we're like, okay, in our sex life, how happy are you? Okay, you're this happy. What would make it one number better? Like, what could we do to make it better? And we do that through all the different areas of our relationship. And so we have these check-ins and we just talk about it. And that way we both are on the same page. We can be proactive about it. We can understand where each other is at, each other's needs. And then another big thing is that we have to realize that our own happiness is in our own hands. It's not dependent on our spouse. And by that, I mean, if I need something, it's my responsibility to tell him that. Not only to tell him, hey, I don't feel connected to you, but tell him how I feel the most connected to him and how he can help me feel more connected.
Right. And I love that, because what you're just describing is the definition of intimacy. I mean, I think people think intimacy and sex are the same thing. They're actually not, but it's the ability to be open with each other. Because I'm sure you heard all the gasps when you said, oh, well, we rate. Hey, honey, how's our sex life? How's it working for you? It's like, oh my gosh, you actually asked that question. you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know? And my partner actually is willing to hear that number. Yeah. So that's scary.
Yeah, sex especially can be a very scary topic to talk about with your spouse, and I that's why it's so important to start that in your first year of marriage, just to start being totally open with each other and get more comfortable, because you're never going to be completely satisfied in any area of your relationship until you let them know what you need and how they can give it to you.
Yeah, and one thing that has really helped us, Leslie, is we are so open that even if, let's say, Ashley goes to the post office or goes to the bank or goes somewhere to the mall and there's a different guy hitting on her, when she comes home, she'll tell me, when I went here, this guy was hitting on me.
Right.
Sometimes, like, because I'm not from the U.S., if someone is hitting on me, I don't even know that someone is hitting on me. And then she will tell me that this lady or this person was hitting on you, and I'll be like, oh, okay, I didn't even notice that. So
yeah, because we are so open. You just thought they were being nice.
Yes, yeah. That's the way I was thinking, yes. And so because of that, because of how open we are, we're able to talk about a lot of issues, a lot of things. So even before they will turn into a big issue, we make sure we're trying to solve them right before they even start.
Yeah, I think a better example of that is the fact that we want to be so open with each other because we don't want our marriage to fail. We don't want, you know, infidelity to happen. So we've agreed with each other, if you ever feel tempted to be with another person, I want you to talk to me so that we can find out what it is you're missing in our relationship, you know, and how to make it better, and so that you don't feel as tempted, or we can decide to, you know, to deal with it then.
Right, you have a way of dealing with it. This right. is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with authors and podcasters, Ashley and Marcus Cousy, about how you can create a good foundation for your marriage. And I don't know about you, but I am just completely amazed by how open they are, not just with you, the listeners, and me, but also with each other, which is like just thrills me to no end. And if you guys would like to have your marriage be that way, then I invite you to contact me and take advantage of my free, no obligation, Create Your Happily Ever After Marriage. You can reach me at area code 919-924-0463, or you can send me an email, Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's L-E-S-L-I at F-O-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N-S coachingnc.com. And I love what you guys are talking about, because I actually have this. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's an idea that I got a while ago about radical honesty, which is what you guys are doing, where you bring your concerns up front. You have this agreement that we're going to be able to talk about anything and everything. Mm-hmm. And what I think, and I know that that's scares people, but it's actually liberating.
It really is.
Because yeah. because you guys, it sounds like you guys have put this boundary around your relationship, and anything goes inside within reason, of course, but everything is open within that boundary.
Yeah.
I love
that boundary has really helped us, because from the onset of our relationship, like, we were really honest with each other. We want to be open. We don't want to play games or tell lies to each other. We just want to be really, really honest. So that expectation that we set in the beginning has helped us throughout the entire period that we've been married.
Yeah, I think it's definitely part of our personalities, and it just together it makes something great.
Well, and you guys have written a book called The First Year of Marriage, The Newlywed's Guide to Building a Strong Foundation and Adjusting to Married Life. And I love that, adjusting to married life. So what do you think is the biggest thing that couples can do to set themselves up for a good marriage?
I would say focus on building that foundation. There are so many parts of a marriage foundation, and setting that up for your marriage is vital. Learning to communicate effectively, learning how to listen empathetically, that was a big one. Mm-hmm. Set and respect boundaries in and around your marriage, trust, and just setting a goal and tone for your whole marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you want to say something, Leslie?
Well, I mean, that makes so much sense. And it's sort of like, you know, I talk about this all the time, that we would never treat our marriages the way we do other things in our life. I mean, we would never just go to work for any company or without doing any kind of investigation of, is this a good fit? we get performance appraisals in our work. You know, we just don't go to college and randomly take classes. I mean, we have a plan, but somehow we tend to think, well, we're in love. That's all we need. It's all going to be wonderful until it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you brought the performance evaluation at work. Like, if any couple is listening around who has a job or does anything that revolves around performance evaluation, you realize that based on your evaluation that you do, you can determine whether you're making progress or you're going backwards. And if you bring that same principle into your marriage, and let's say you do a marriage checkup whereby you apply the same principle to different areas of your marriage, it definitely helps to make your marriage a whole lot better, gives you ideas or places that you can both improve to better your marriage.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because, you know, one of my trademarks is I don't like using the word work in relation to marriage because it just sounds so awful. But I think Ashley, you said it really well, that the working at it isn't the same thing as it being work, because I think people think, well, oh, well, if we're fighting, that's okay, that's the work. You know, I mean, and it really makes me crazy when I hear people say, oh, every couple fights, it's how you fight. And I'm going, you don't have to. I mean, yes, you're going to disagree, but fighting is a real problem. But I think that they think that that when it becomes a challenge, that that's actually the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's a good way of explaining it.
And so what do you guys think, what have you guys discovered is the biggest adjustment that couples need to make to be married, to have a good marriage?
Yeah. I like using our own experience, and it's not just based on our own experience, but from talking to other couples too. And what I've realized is most of the issues that couples face in their marriages, it stems from one or two things. And the first one is miscommunication or no communication.
Yeah.
That is what I have observed. And in our first year of marriage, that was the same thing that happened with us. We knew we had a plan. We wanted to have a peaceful marriage. We had goals for our marriage and everything, but the communication piece was really a big issue for us. And once we were able to solve that communication piece, it helped us to be able to implement or put into practice all the things that we're going through. So we made the adjustment period a really smooth transition for us after we were able to learn to communicate with each other. Even though we thought we knew how to communicate with each other prior to getting married. Because when we were dating, we didn't have any communication issues. But after getting married, that...
that we thought.
Well, so interesting. What was it about being married that was different? Because a lot of people think that marriage really isn't that different of a relationship. And I know you're never supposed to modify the word unique, but I tell people marriage is a truly unique relationship. But everybody thinks, oh, it's just the same as other marriages. So what made it different for you?
I mean, you're meshing your whole lives together. Everything becomes a little, even if you're living together and just dating, all your finances, I mean, most couples, I mean, you know, mesh their finances together and share accounts, not all, but a good majority of them. And so it's working out the money, which is a big issue, working around, you know, your families, like now things with your families might be a little more important now that you're married and having your spouse join you for holidays. And, you know, it's not as easy as just saying, oh, you go to your family and I'll go to my family and we'll meet up after.
Right.
So just all sorts of everyday life happens and becomes a little more important, I think. And then, you know, you're in this for the long haul. You know, there's that piece of paper, but it means a little bit more in my opinion.
Yeah. And in my opinion, I think it's mostly about the commitment, because for two people to get married, they have to exchange vows.
Mm-hmm.
And once you exchange those vows, they are different, because when you are dating, I don't think you exchange vows when you're dating with a third person involved. But when you get married, it's not just the two of you. You have more than two people present, and they are witnesses. We are going to witness the marriage. and be like, okay, I support this marriage. So that alone is something that tells you, okay, this is something I'm in, this is something I need to take seriously. And I think that is the issue that some people struggle with.
Yeah, everything you do directly affects your spouse and vice versa.
Yeah, I tell people that. I said, except with the possible exception of the clothes they're wearing, and I'm still working on that one because that's got to impact it somehow. But I think that that's a – when I talk to people, I say, you know, the biggest challenge that I see is that the recognition that you're two different people trying to work together.
Definitely. Finding that balance.
Yeah. And when I was early on, I heard somebody talk about marriage. It's like you're in a rowboat and each one of you has an oar. Mm-hmm. And the only way you're going to get someplace is if you row together in the same direction.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I like this. I'm going to be stealing this. And I think there's that push me, pull you kind of trying to get your partner to do things your way. Mm-hmm. And of course your partner's trying to get you to do things their way. And it becomes this, you know,
power struggle.
Yeah. It's really a power struggle when you lose sight of the fact that we have to create a win-win, because if it's a win-lose, then everybody loses.
Because you're on the same team. You're in the same boat.
Yep.
It's not going to go anywhere unless you work together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys talked about communication. And, of course, you know, to me that's the – if you can't do that, you're sunk. But that's only just the beginning, because you have to have the courage to communicate about all the kinds of things you guys are talking about. Ashley, you had talked about – that empathetic listening,
yeah,
was tough. What made it tough for you?
Just having to sit back and, you know, so many people yell to be heard. Mm-hmm. And I was very hot tempered. And so I was just trying to let him hear me. And I wasn't so concerned with hearing him and seeing where he was coming from and understanding, you know, his intentions behind what he was trying to say. Uh-huh. So I was just so focused on being right. And my way was the right way. There isn't many other ways. So just learning that, especially when we became parents, this really got worked out. Was there is no right and wrong way sometimes. There's just his way and my way.
Oh, that is so important. Yes.
Yeah. So just that was a big thing for me personally.
Yeah. For me, it was more of the language differences, because I am from Ghana. I wasn't born here. And the way I speak English is a little bit different from the way Ashley speaks English. So sometimes she has to put herself in my shoes and try to understand what I'm saying so she can get a better grasp of what I'm trying to get across to her in order for us to be able to communicate well.
Well, they also have, our words have different context. Mm-hmm. So I called Marcus silly one night, and that was a big argument our first year of marriage. Because to him it meant stupid or fool.
Right, and that's not how you meant it.
No, not at all. We were like joking around, and
she was like, "Oh, you're so silly." And then,
yeah, well, I didn't take that lightly at all.
Well, and you know, and it's interesting because you guys say this, and you come from different countries, but a lot of times, even if you come from the same country, the words don't mean the same thing.
Definitely, because I believe that each individual family is an individual culture.
Mm-hmm.
So you're coming from different, you know, different cultural context, you know, words and different things can have different meanings to everybody.
Yeah. And that's what I try to tell people. I said, you know, I use this word and it means this to me, but you use the same word and it means something different. So sometimes we even have to, at communication, what are we talking about? You know, because we're not necessarily talking about the same thing. You were using the same word, but that's not what we're doing. And I think people take that for granted that, oh, we all use the same word.
Yeah.
And it means the same thing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So
tomato, tomato.
So where can people find your information? How can they find out more about how you learned to do this? Where can they find you?
Yeah, the best way is through our website, which is ourpeacefulfamily.com. And when anybody who visits our website will be able to find all the information that we have on there, our books, our podcast, and how to contact us, and everything will be right there. But if anybody wants like a quick email address to contact us, it's firstyearmarriage@gmail.com. So that's the best way, the best email to reach us through. Apart from that, it would be just to go straight to our website, which is ourpeacefulfamily.com.
Terrific. So, you know, marriage really doesn't have to be hard, but it's hard because, you know, for most people, and maybe even you, there is no plan. As you've heard me say before, love is great, but it won't be enough to build a strong, successful marriage. And it's never too late to build that necessary foundation for your successful marriage. The question is, what will get you to take the steps to make that happen in your life? So think on that. Go to Marcus and Ashley's website. Go to my website. And until next time, stay loving.